I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. This episode of Pick Six is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. It's not a Tuesdays with Brady, but Leslie Duzimal here with me, Tuesdays with Brinson.
I like it.
Yeah. What's up, man? Fresh off a combine. We're out of the combine. How you feeling? How we doing?
I'm good, man. Yeah, today was a busy day. You know, tag deadline. We'll get into that in the show. A lot of stuff happened. I would say nothing really unexpected, except for maybe one, Kyle Duggar with the transition tag.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think everybody kind of knew who was going to get tagged.
a lot of tags, and it's that time of year. Yeah, I think I'll tell you what. Let's get to the news first, and then we'll get to the tags. But I was going to point out, I feel like if I'm an NFL player, and obviously I'm not, I would be not even close, really. I would be a lot less angry about the idea of being tagged in 2024 than I would have been in like 2014, which is basically to say that like I think injury stuff has come so far. Medicine and everything that because back in the day it was like if you get tagged and tear your ACL your career might be over.
You're screwed,
when Adrian Peterson came back and ran for 2,000 yards off a torn ACL, it was like an insane moment in the history of the league
that like never happened before.
Yeah, it's like the ACLs were like career enders, and now it's like, now granted, like if you tore your Achilles, especially if you're a running back, I think that would be a concern. But generally speaking, I feel like if you get tagged, it's a 1-year fully guaranteed deal. Yes, it's insulting and it's annoying that you can't test free agency. And I get that. I think at the same time, like if I'm a quarterback and I get tagged, you're going to give me $36 million. I'll take it.
Well, it depends, right? Because now the number with Joe Burrow is shot up to $55 million. So you might be a little perturbed if you get that tag at 38. Yeah, but certain positions, and like I said, we'll talk about this, like Legarius Sneed, like we were having this discussion today on Spotlight. If I'm him, I'm not terribly mad because I don't know if he would have got $19 million a year on the open market. Now, would he have gotten more money guaranteed? Probably, but what would the number be? Would it be like $30 million, maybe $25 million? So you're getting $19.8 million just for this season. I'm not terribly upset about that because I don't think I would get that in the open market.
Yeah, and it's like, as long as you're not, you know, 29 or 30 or something like that, you're still in your prime, then correct. I think you can say, like Brian, again, I, you know, we'll just get to this. Let's speak of $30 million. There's a quarterback named Russell Wilson who's making $39 million this year. And he can make the full $39 million if he just sits at home. And he gets paid pretty by the much. Broncos. He can sit out the year. I mean, he's not going to do that. But yeah. Released by the Broncos after, frankly, one of the more entertaining passive-aggressive source-offs between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Russ goes out and does Brandon Marshall's podcast. Sean Payton's like talking about memes up at the Combine podium. Just like, I mean, just like openly and flagrantly just taking shots at each other. Russ is like, I want to be a Bronco. It's like, no, you don't. You hate Sean Payton. Like, you guys hate each other. You don't want to be cut. Because it's pretty embarrassing much. To be cut. But nevertheless, he was $85 million in dead cap space. They can still designate him a post-June 1 cut, which I anticipate they'll do. But they have to hold the $85 million in dead cap space until June 1st, which, dudes, at that point, like, you might as well just eat the 85 for the full season. Was the Russell Wilson trade the worst trade of all time?
I don't even think it's close. Will, like, when you look at what the Denver Broncos had to give up to get Wilson, we're not even talking about the contract, right? We're just talking about compensation to get the services of Russell Wilson, right? Two number ones, two number twos, a fifth round pick, plus three other players, right? So just that alone makes this the worst trade ever in NFL history. But let's put some icing on the cake, Will, right? Not only that, they decided to give him an extension. That extension doesn't even kick in until this year. So he was cut before he even got the money for the extension, right? You talked about it. They're stuck with an $85 million cap hit, right? And they don't think it's as bad now just because the NFL, you know, added $30 million to the cap for each team this year. So they feel like they can deal with that number throughout the last 2 years, the next 2 years. They'll probably break that the number up. But you talked about it, Brinson. He's getting $39 million if he can, even if he just sits at home. Right, $124 million, I believe, over the last 2 years. Yep. He's not even seeing that new contract this year, but he's getting the money from it. So, like, it's definitely the worst deal in NFL history because for some odd reason, I don't know if it was the personnel guys or the coaching staff, they thought they were a quarterback away. Well, yeah. It proved that they were more than a quarterback away. There was a lot of deficiencies on this team. And it's not just Russell Wilson, right? Let's not forget the Randy Gregory deal that they gave him. Didn't really work out well either, right? There's been other deals. Jerry Jeudy never really took that step. Cortland Sutton hasn't been the guy he was since the knee injury. So there's been a lot of issues with this Denver Broncos team. They were never just one quarterback away. So for them, and a lot of people thought with that defense, right, that they were one quarterback away, but there were some clear deficiencies on this team, and they reared their ugly head once Russell Wilson got there, and it made it 10 times worse.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, when they were a quarterback away, that was also when they had, like, it's like you fired your coach. You're not a quarterback away if you fire your coach. Exactly. Like you just fired your head coach and you think you're a quarterback away. They fired Vic Fangio. It's like, that's why your defense is great, because Fangio is running his scheme there. And I think the other, like, the point about the extension, I mean, that's really what makes it. People who are like pro Broncos, pro Denver, trying to sort of cape up for Denver in that front office, say like, oh, well, you have to separate the extension from the trade. No, you don't. Like, you traded Russell. he didn't stay in Seattle because he wanted a new contract, and the Seahawks didn't want to give it to him, and they traded him at the right time. And frankly, the Seahawks are the big, you know, just massive winners in that deal because they rebooted their whole franchise. God. I mean, Devin Witherspoon this year, Charles Cross, Boye Mafe, like, they drafted great players, and that helps. But I mean, that's the same thing as the extension. It's like, you say, well, you have to separate the picks from the players. No, like, those are the players they got.
It's all together.
Yeah, and it's like, Denver could have had all of those players, and if they did that, then they might be a quarterback away, right?
Yeah.
But now they cut Russ. Five-year extension. He's not going to play a snap. It's insane.
Snap of it.
I think what's interesting, and I wrote about this for CBSSports.com. You can read it, of course, on CBSSports.com. But one, worst trade ever. I agree with you, hands down. The Deshaun Watson trade could rival it because Houston rebooted their franchise too. But, I mean, like Cleveland's at least going to see that thing out. Russ got cut.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is that, so Russell Wilson is not like a publicly spiteful dude.
Yeah.
But he keeps receipts. 100%. He wouldn't let you know. He wouldn't say it out loud. Mm-hmm. I've talked to him. I talked to him when he was a rookie several times. Like I ended up with like 3 Russell Wilson interviews. And like by the third one, I gave one to local radio. The second one, I was like, he's like, oh, you again. I was like, hey, can we just like, it wasn't really off the record. I was just like, dude, like, come on. You know, you don't like Tom O'Brien. Like he ran you out of there. And he's like, but I think that Russell Wilson and somebody in the chat noted this, but you are, Russell Wilson's PR team is leaking it out there. It seems well known that he will take the veteran minimum to play this year. And it's not because he's a great guy. It's because every dollar he earns from a new team is a dollar the Broncos don't have to pay him.
And
I think he wants the Broncos to pay as much as they possibly have to.
For sure.
Right.
You got to be petty in this situation. Like,
yes.
If I'm him, I'm taking the vet minimum, right? That's what I'm taking. I'm taking the vet minimum to go somewhere. That way the Denver Broncos have to pay all that money and that cap continues to hurt them, right? Because you decided to release me before I even took a snap on this new deal.
Yes, exactly. And so I think he is going to go play for the vet minimum. And remember, Russ was sort of the original, here's how you can win on a rookie contract with a quarterback on a rookie contract because he takes up so little of the salary cap space in 2012 with the new CBA. He was the OG guy for that. Well, he can be the original guy who says, I'm like, because we see these guys get cut all the time. He's like, I want to take the veteran minimum and you allow a team to build around you. To me, there are some very obvious landing spots. Pete Prisco doesn't think he's going to play. I think Atlanta could work. I think Minnesota could work if Kirk Cousins ends up signing elsewhere. I think the Steelers make a lot of sense. Yeah. And I think, speaking of petty, the Las Vegas Raiders play the Broncos twice a year. I mean, ruin Sean Payton's season by beating him.
That could be true.
Yeah, what do you think about landing spots? Do you think he ends up as a starter, or do you think he has to back up a young guy somewhere?
Yeah, I think a couple of the teams you hit on make a lot of sense. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think going in there with Mike Tomlin would tell him, like, hey, just don't lose us the game. Even though their defense hasn't been the championship defense that we're accustomed to seeing from the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think he would tell Russ, you know, we just need you to be a really good game manager for us, right? We don't need you to do anything crazy, right? You don't need you to come in here and be Mr. Unlimited, right? We need you to be limited.
Yeah, limit yourself. Limit yourself, pal.
Yeah, so I think that makes a lot of sense. Plus, you just got to see where Russell's head is. Like, would he be a good mentor for a guy? Because just hearing his interview, it sounds like he still wants to start. I don't know if he'll be just given a starting job. I think he's going to have to compete for it, and rightfully so. I think he's at that part of his career where, in regards to him still playing at an elite level, we haven't seen it now. Did he play a lot better? Yes, last year? Yeah, for sure. But he had nowhere to go but up from what they did the year before. So the Atlanta Falcons, there's rumors that Kirk Cousins could potentially be going there, which – that came out of left park. I did not see that one happen at all. I kind of thought the deal for Justin Fields would have been done already in regards to him going there. Minnesota lets Kirk Cousins go. That they're tripping. Like, there's no way you let Kirk Cousins out that door.
Right.
I don't care about your ego, about having not wanting to guarantee. Give him a 2-year fully guaranteed deal.
Yeah.
That way you can sign Justin Jefferson, because that lets you know how Kirk Cousins is. When the top receiver in the league says, I'm waiting to see what happens with my quarterback before I sign an extension. That lets you know what Kirk Cousins means to that offense and that team. Another team, like you said, the Las Vegas Raiders, they're most likely going to draft the quarterback. The interesting thing is, how aggressive will they be in the draft and potentially moving up? There's rumors that they could try to move up. Russ makes a lot of sense to be like a mentor. But again, this comes down to Russell Wilson understanding where he, one, is at in his career, and two, is he comfortable doing that? Or being a bridge quarterback where they could maybe draft a guy, but not start him right away and let Russ start the season. And then if things go sideways, you put your young quarterback in there and see what he got. So those three teams make the most sense to me. I heard some off-the-wall outlandish theory that the New York Jets could be a potential place for Russell Wilson to go. And it makes sense in theory, just because they did say they wanted to bring a veteran in there. But I just don't see him and Aaron Rodgers being in the same locker room, especially if Russell wants the opportunity to potentially start.
Yeah, I mean, the only logic there is, like, we got burnt by Aaron getting hurt last year, so we
for sure.
I mean, I don't think that I would not – I wouldn't do that if I were the Jets.
Yeah, why would you want that unneeded press? You already get enough with the Jets.
Like, yeah, like, if you didn't
Russell
learn your lesson,
would bring so much press.
If you didn't learn your lesson, somebody said he and A-Rod would be best of friends. I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
I think they would. I think Aaron Rodgers, if the Jets signed Russell Wilson,
he might feel a type of way, huh?
I think that Aaron Rodgers would be pretty pissed off. Like, super pissed off. He'd be like, are you kidding me? Mike McDonald wasting no time remodeling the Seahawks defense to fit his scheme. Also, you know, little cap space moves to free up $27.5 million in cash and a lot of cap space by releasing Pro Bowl safeties Jamal Adams and Quandre Diggs. I don't think Adams was surprising at all.
No,
a disaster trade to go get him.
About to say, people talking about that Russell deal. It's not as bad, but the Adams one is pretty bad too.
Adams was bad.
First and the third, which end up being Elijah Vera Tucker and Garrett Wilson.
Is that right? Is that who it was?
That's what that turned into. Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they just won that trade.
Yeah. It's like when you said the Trey Lance trade's pretty bad too. When you factor in like the Dolphins then promptly took those picks and got Tyreek Hill and Bradley Chubb. It's like, oh, God. But yeah, I mean, like, what were your thoughts on sort of Seattle doing this? And again, Jamal Adams, not surprising. Quandre Diggs, maybe a little bit more. Clearly, they were trying to, you know, they're letting Mike McDonald build this team in his image.
I mean, the writing was on the wall for Jamal Adams when they paid Julian Love in free agency, knowing they already had Quandre Diggs. I always wondered, like, how were they going to employ a three safety rotation? Now, a lot of teams do that, but we know Jamal Adams is more of an in the box type safety, and Julian Love can do it all. He can play slot corner. He can play, you know, the deep half safety. He can play in the box as well. So Julian Love was the only one that survived it, and I guess rightfully so, because he made the Pro Bowl this year. It was one of the, you know, Seattle's best defensive players. Quandre Diggs was a little surprising, but now I looked at his cap number and I saw why they made that release. He hadn't had the season that we're accustomed to seeing Quandre Diggs have, and I think he was making $13 million. So that's a reason. I kind of surprised they didn't try to do maybe a restructure with him and keep him with Julian Love. I think would have made a lot of sense. And who knows, maybe this could, you know, down the road, he could potentially sign back with them.
I think there's a decent chance that we see the Seahawks make a move for like Ravens free agents. There's a lot of defensive players.
Geno Stone is a guy that comes to mind.
Yeah. Patrick Queen's a free agent. I mean, you know, like, and so
they need linebacker. Those are two spots they need, safety and linebacker.
Yeah, I was on with my boys Chuck and Buck out in Seattle talking draft and combine, and they were like, tell us about Peyton Wilson. We need linebackers. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, like, you could see, like, Seattle, it's not unusual for a head coach to go to a defensive coordinator to go to a new spot, become the head coach, and bring his guys in like that.
Sure.
It makes a ton of sense. Familiar with the scheme. Mm. Like, you know, you see, and obviously they can't get Justin Madubuike. We'll talk about him in a minute because he's a franchise tag, but like you know, you look at him and Patrick Queen and all these different guys on this Ravens team that really broke out under Mike McDonald. It wouldn't be shocking if they decided to.
And that's the one area of the ball where they got to get better at. And they have some good foundational pieces. You talk about Boye Mafe. You talk about Witherspoon on the outside. Let's not forget Tariq Woolen was a Pro Bowl corner. Now, I know he struggled some last year, but he was a Pro Bowl corner his rookie year. So you got those two lockdown corners. You got Julian Love, who's a Pro Bowl safety. There's rumors that they really want to sign Leonard Williams because he definitely made a change in that defense when he came over there midseason. So I think that makes a lot of sense as well. But Jordan Brooks is a free agent, and so is Bobby Wagner. So they got to do something at the linebacker position.
Yeah, I agree completely. Seattle remodeling their defense. Be very curious to see what it ends up looking like under Mike McDonald, he said, talking slowly as he tried to find the rundown on the tab. all right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss all the tags. A lot of guys got tagged, and we'll tell you whether it was a smart move or not coming up next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, franchise tag deadline came and went, and a lot of players got tagged by a lot of teams. Let's start with a wide receiver and Michael Pittman, who got the tag. Obviously, T. Higgins was tagged previously. We've talked about that. But Michael Pittman tagged on Tuesday by the Indianapolis Colts. He'll make $21.8 million, went over 1,000 yards this season. I like it because I think you got a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, yep, and you're sort of figuring out what the wide receiver market is right now. You don't want to pay him $30 million, but you probably pay him, I think, maybe $25 million. That's a lot for Michael Pittman.
That's a lot.
That's a lot when you say that.
So yeah, me and Pete Prisco was just having this. We were just having this conversation at the tag deadline with the show HQ, and then we actually did a show for HQ Spotlight earlier talking about this. And I'm like you, right, Will? I think it makes a lot of sense. You got a young quarterback, want some continuity. You got a big receiver on the outside that can go up and get 50-50 jump balls. He's a big target in the red zone. Right. He's a guy that's been consistent. And I think that's why they did this. Right. Where you want some continuity and consistency on that offense for your young quarterback. Why not bring your most consistent receiver back? Now, the $21 million for a receiver that muddles around 1,100, 1,000 yards in a 17 game season may be a little steep. Right. It would have been interesting to see what Michael Pittman would have got on the open market. Now, he might have gotten more than this, just because when you look at a guy like T. Higgins getting the franchise tag, right, and then Calvin Ridley, we thought maybe he would get the tag, but ultimately they decided to give it to Josh Allen. If he goes back to Jacksonville, then you're talking about putting Pittman out there with Gabe Davis and Darnell Mooney, right? So, like, when you look at that, Pittman's probably the biggest name on there, so he's going to get the most amount of money in free agency. But most people would say he's a 1B or maybe even a number two, right? So, like, is $21.8 million too much for him? Again, I think it makes a lot of sense. I guarantee they try to make a deal to lower that cap number.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they're going to try to do that. But when you talk about pairing him with Josh Downs and then having Anthony Richardson be comfortable with two guys that were there the year before, I think it just makes too much sense.
Dude, I mean, the other thing too, like with Anthony Richardson, I mean, he looked like a much better thrower of the football, I think, than we sort of thought he might be early on. And obviously, he got hurt several times, knocked out for the season.
Yeah, I'm running concerns around like that.
I know, and that's the offense too. Shane Steichen, big concerns about it. I think though that with, like, if you take Michael Pittman away from this offense,
that's what I'm saying.
Josh Downs is a great slot receiver, but he is a slot receiver. Like, you need,
yeah,
those guys work hand in hand well together. So I the issue is, like, just looking at the wide receiver contracts. So Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill are the two highest paid guys at 30 and 28.
They're at 30, right?
Yeah. Tyreek's 30, Devontae's 28. But those years they have dummy years on the back end of their deals. So, like, it's basically the agents, they just wanted to be the highest paid wide receivers when they got traded to their new teams. And so they did that. Realistically, the Cooper Kupp contract is the top at $26.7 million. Then you have Mike Evans right at 26 million per year. AJ Brown, 25.
The number just came out on that. I think it's more like 20 and a half. It's a lot of incentive-based stuff.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I think the true numbers just came out. What makes sense, right? I think it's going to be, what, 31
yeah.
or something like that?
Well, I mean, so I guess
– well, I think guess 2 years. Like, I think it's like 2 years, 42 mil he gets. Something oh, wow. like that. Wow.
That's interesting. Diggs at 24, DK at 24, Debo basically at 24, Terry McLaurin 23.2, and then you have Michael Pittman at 21.8 at the tag, and T. Higgins there, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, who's one of those guys probably getting cut, and then Amari Cooper all at, and Chris Godwin all at 20 million. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you can do a deal with Pittman.
I was like, do you put him in those category with those receivers?
I don't think he's not. Pittman is not yet an A.J. Brown, Stephon Diggs, DK Metcalf.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, but like, is he going to take 22 million? Like, is he going to take Terry McLaurin money?
You are what the market says you are, right? I try to tell people that all the time. So, like, if he would have hit the open market, he probably would have got upwards to $23, $24 million. So, like, if I'm the Colts, right, I'm trying to get that money around like 20. Like, if I get him around 20, I'd feel a lot more comfortable than having to pay him like $23, $24 million.
If I'm the Colts, I'm cranking up the guarantees on it. He's still a young guy. I'm cranking up the guarantees, get him a lot of total guaranteed money, and move, you know, and get him in at like $22 million or something like that. It's like, look, yeah. like a loaded guaranteed contract, but you're above Terry McLaurin, but you're not like, you know, you're not Debo or like, yeah, right around 23, I think could work. And so
it'll be interesting to see what happens with Cup next year if the trajectory of Puka Nacua keeps going like it's going, and like, are they going to be willing to pay Cooper Cup the type of money that he's slotted to make?
Yeah, indeed. Chicago Bears are actually the cover story on CBSSports.com. My mock draft, in which I trolled Bears fans by trading away the number one pick to the New England Patriots for 3 future first. Yeah, I don't know. Like, the trade market for Justin Fields has cooled down a lot, it feels like. And
man, especially with Kirk Cousins potentially going to Atlanta.
Yeah, like, if you can get you could trade down, get Marvin Harrison Jr. or, you know, Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze, however you want to do it. You probably get 2 of those guys, honestly, at 3 and 9.
I mean, if you trade the 3, you still might get a quarterback.
Yeah. Get 3 future firsts and take Jaden Daniels and hope it works out. Or get an offensive, get Joe Alton. I mean, build your offensive line and build the receivers and build around Justin Fields, who, like, this is not the worst team in football. They're picking 9th overall. Because Justin Fields got him there. So I don't know. I think that's kind of an interesting angle. But more importantly for this, it appears that some Bears fans disagree. Joe Musso says to count.
my God, Moose.
I think Musso is a loyal chatter on the Pick Six podcast, and we always appreciate it. Hilarious. And Harry correctly points out that I told him off camera that I was going to do a troll mock draft, mission accomplished. Actually, last year I did the worst mock draft of all time. It was really well received. It did great numbers, but it was like designed to piss off every single fan base. Like, I gave like the worst thing possible. At any rate, the Bears tagged Jalen Johnson, underrated player.
Very much so. This one, I'm not surprised by the tag. I'm surprised the deal hasn't been done. Because let's not forget earlier in the season last year, there were rumors that they were going to allow him to seek a trade, which I thought was a terrible mistake by GM Ryan Poles. Yes, he wasn't your draft pick, but you don't let homegrown talent, especially Pro Bowl homegrown talent, walk out the building, right? You pair him with a guy that you took last year in Tyreek Stevenson, who had a really good rookie year, and you have 2 lockdown corners. You already traded for Montez Sweat. Now you got to add another edge rusher. You know what's going to give that edge rusher more time? If you have 2 lockdown corners on the outside. We kind of saw the evolution of this Bears defense and how it changed right after the Montez Sweat trade, Brinson, where they were like a top 5 defense down the stretch of the year. They were the number 1 defense against the run. But in totality, if you look at what they did like the last 8 games of the season, they were playing top 10 defense in the league. So, like, I think that's what Ryan Poles envisions. So I guarantee the tag is to try to get a deal done. You do not let talent like Jalen Johnson walk out the door, long-rangey corner who has a knack for finding the football, can play press man, bump and run coverage, and also can play in zone as well. You don't let guys like that walk out the door.
By the way, I was looking at this worst mock draft ever. And I went Will Levis 1 to the Panthers just to piss off Panthers. but then Bryce Young was available and CJ Stroud went to the Texans.
That's unbelievable.
And I had Lucas Von Ness going to the Packers. This is like
you actually had him going to the Packers.
Yeah, I think but like Packers fans were like, we love that pick. So I couldn't even do a worst mock draft correctly, which is
I'd never loved that pick for them.
Yeah, which is kind of incredible. All right. Josh Allen, not the quarterback, the pass rusher, tagged by the Jaguars. We go and lump in Josh Allen and Brian Burns together, I think, just for the sake of time. Two no-brainer tags, but two very different situations, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say the situations are not even close.
No, like Josh Allen for the Jaguars is a team with Trevor Lawrence, who's been, I think, not as advertised so far in his career.
I wouldn't pay him this early.
No, I wouldn't want to pay him either. He needs to show it this year. Has had some great stretches, but definitely needs some consistency and to sort of improve his overall game. The offense isn't great there. Pete Prisco's talked about that a bunch, but like the defense has to have Josh Allen. He was a viable defensive candidate, and like to me,
he should have been in a defensive player of the year.
Yeah,
category.
And I think that this is a situation where you give him money, you pay him a ton of money. And because you're a team that in that division with that quarterback, you've been to the playoffs, you won a playoff game, like you have to pay the guy because you're in contention. Whereas the Panthers dudes are like, how can you think like, oh, we'll pay Brian Burns for 4 years and we'll be good. You're probably just not going to be good for the 4 years. And that may be why they put the non-exclusive tag on him, hoping somebody comes to get him.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll start with Josh Allen, right? You got to get a deal done with him. I'm honestly surprised they haven't got it done, because I know before last season he sat out of most of the offseason because he was disgruntled about his contract, rightfully so, right? He's been the main consistent guy on that defensive line getting to the quarterback. Now, we saw Trayvon Walker towards the end of the back part of the season really come alive, right? I believe he had, if not mistaken, I think 5 sacks in the last 4 games, so he really turned it up at the end of the year. End up finishing with 10, but Josh Allen was the main guy that consistently always got to the quarterback. You talked about a 17 and a half sacks. And now, instead of being an outside linebacker in Ryan Nielsen's defense, he'll be an edge guy where he doesn't have to worry about dropping the coverage or carrying backside of the backfield. He'll be asked to go get the quarterback, play in and play out. I think Trayvon Walker will play a lot better because of that as well. So this is a no-brainer. Honestly, surprised they didn't get the deal done to maybe potentially tag Calvin Ridley instead. So that's another interesting thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars have to do, because if he does go somewhere in free agency, they're going to have to give the Atlanta Falcons a second round pick. So that's probably working against them.
If he signs with Jacksonville.
It's a third, I think, right?
I think it's a second if he comes back to Jacksonville.
No, I think if he leaves, it's a second. But if he signs, I think it's a third. Maybe you're right. Maybe if he does sign, it's a second.
Yeah. And they missed the playoffs, and like, I think that they would love to bring Calvin Ridley back, but I think Cameron Wolf of NFL Network reported that it's looking increasingly likely that Ridley's going to get the free agency, and that there are multiple teams that have him as the number one wide receiver.
Yeah, you got to look at it with Pittman being tagged and also T. Higgins being tagged. It's going to come down to Calvin Ridley, probably Gabe Davidson and Darnell Mooney. Right?
Calvin's going to get $26 million a year. I mean, that's just free agency, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are with
the I'm also afraid that the Jets want to pay him that. I just think his game and Garrett Wilson's game is too close. I don't think it makes a lot of sense for him to come to the New York Jets.
Honestly, I wouldn't
be mad if the Jets went and got Gabe Davis.
Ooh, that'd be spicy. He fits well with Garrett Wilson.
He really would. I mean, the yards per catch, I think he led the league in the NFL. And then, like, when you talk about the target shares and what his catch percentages is, people look at me like he disappears. I'm like, well, he can't throw the ball to himself. Like, he's not playing quarterback. Like, as a receiver, you can only catch if you're getting the ball thrown to you.
I agree with you. But I was going to say, did you see the comp for Ladd McConkey? It was like,
wasn't it Garrett Wilson?
Yeah, which is crazy. I don't even work in my brain, dude. Now. That's wild. Yeah,
he's not like, just a slot guy. He can get down the field.
Yeah, I like McConkey. All right, the Bucks tagged Antoine.
Oh, but hold on, we didn't get to Burns.
Oh yeah, Burns. Yeah,
I forgot. I forgot to get this off my chest. What is up with your franchise?
Oh, they're trash. They're big trash, dude.
So let me get this. Let me get this straight, just for the viewers, so they can hear this. A few years ago, it was rumored that they were offered 2 first-round picks from the LA Rams for Brian Burns. They decided that wasn't good enough, which is crazy to me. Not only that, you didn't get an extension done with this guy. So why are you hog tying him if you're not going to trade him? So even if you do get an offer this year, it won't be 2 firsts. So you've already lost in regards to that trade if you do trade him away, because you potentially had 2 first-round picks for Brian Burns. And like you said, they have so many holes. It would have made sense for them to trade him for those 2 first-round picks while the Rams were still trying to stay in the hunt of winning another ring. But yet you decided it wasn't good enough, and now you don't even want to pay, or you technically want to pay him because you franchised him, but you could have paid him before this season. And the number probably would have been the same as what it is going to be right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to dog Dan Morgan for using the franchise tag on Burns here, because I think you had to do it. He's a 24-year-old edge rusher, and if you let him walk, I know it's nuts. He got drafted like 3-4 years ago. If you let him walk, 5 years, he was like 19 or 20 when he got drafted. It's wild. Yeah. It's like the reverse of he's pre-COVID, right? I mean, like, you know, these guys, like, I mean,
there's dudes coming in this year that are older than Brian Burns, and he's on the franchise tag.
Yeah, that's wild, dude. And he's Michael Penix Jr. has 1,600 attempted passes in college.
Yeah, I'm about to say Bo Nix.
Bo Nix has 60 dude. Starts. It's crazy. But you look at the cost per year for edge rushers, and it gets a little dicey because Nick Bosa is getting $34 million per year on his monster contract. You can't, if you're Brian Burns, say that you're worth as much as Nick Bosa. I think it's a tough sell to even say I want more than TJ Watt, who's making $28 million a year. And
no, but to me, I think that the range was always like 24 to 26, right? And there was rumors that they didn't want to come up to that. And I'm like, why would you not pay him that? Like, do you know what the going rate for edge guys are right now?
Yeah. Well, and the tricky part where they changed the defense last year. They moved to this 3-4. He's not nearly as good last season. Mm-hmm. And then they put the non-exclusive tag on him, which is inviting other people to come in and negotiate with him. But then if you sign him to an offer sheet, you have to give the Panthers 2 first-round picks, and the Panthers could match it. I think the Panthers would love somebody to come in and give him an offer sheet and collect 2 first-round picks. I don't think it would be that crazy, dudes, if the Rams came back to the Panthers and said, we'll give you this year's first-round pick for Brian Burns. It's a later-round pick. It's not 2 first-round picks. And I think Carolina, if you get a first-round pick for Burns, you have to take it, right?
I think you do, too, just because there's so many deficiencies on that roster. And who knows what you could turn that first-round pick in. You could even maybe trade back and get even more picks, because this is one of those drafts where – you can get great offensive linemen late first, even into the second round, and that's what the Panthers definitely need. But they need playmakers, and this is a great receiver class as well. So talk about maybe getting multiple receivers, whether it's, you know, you get 2 seconds because you trade out of the first round. You get an offensive tackle, a receiver to help Bryce Young. I think it makes a lot of sense. The only question is now,
will somebody trade
whether their strong suit was kind of like their defense, and now with – if you do trade Brian Burns and Frankie Louvu's probably going to hit free agency, like, I mean, you're left with Derrick Brown, right? And he still got J.C. Horn, but he has to stay healthy. So, like, now you're looking at your defense and, like, what are the Panthers known for?
Right. What are the Panthers? Like, bad Bryce Young? And it's for Carolina, the other thing is, like, it's great that he's 24. You could sign him to a huge deal. You give him 4 years, and you have him in his prime. But are you going to be any good? Like, the Panthers are very unlikely to be a good football team over the next 3 to 4 years. So, to me, it makes way more sense to trade him. And I think you just pray and hope that somebody comes and makes him an offer. Antoine Winfield Jr., elsewhere in the NFC South, all-pro safety Antoine Winfield Jr. got the franchise tag. Once they signed Mike Evans, it feels like they're in a really good place with Baker Mayfield. I know there's been some reporting that Baker might – that the Falcons could be interested or the Patriots are bandied about. I think Baker loves the setup in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I think he likes the coaching staff, loves the GM and Jason Light. They get along really well and you know, rejuvenated his career. And the fact that they went out and signed Mike Evans and guarantee, you know, you guarantee you're going to have Antoine Winfield Jr. again this year. Like this Bucs team, barring it, you know, or depending on the Falcons situation at quarterback, should be the favorite to win the division.
Cousins goes there, then it's a question. Yeah. When you look at the Baker Mayfield situation, it's interesting, right? Because had his best year with Dave Canales. We know he's now in Carolina as the Panthers head coach. So does that maybe have a bearing on what happens? Because we saw Geno Smith also have his best career year with Dave Canales as a quarterback coach, right? So, like, if you're Baker Mayfield, I mean, you're not going back to Carolina, you know, because, you know, Bryce Young is there. So you're not going to be, you know, the starting quarterback there. I'm like you, though. I think he loves being in Tampa Bay, loves the staff. I think Mike Evans being under contract is also a thing that will kind of link him to potentially going back to Tampa. Now, the thing is, what are they willing to pay him, right? I honestly thought that they would try to work out a deal with Winfield. That way they could tag Baker for 38 mil, which you got to think Baker Mayfield is probably going to get it like close to 40 on the open market. If Joe Burrow,
he'll 30 million for sure. Like at least.
Yeah. So like I would attack Baker Mayfield, honestly, to try to work out a deal with him and then try to work out a deal with Antoine Winfield. The only thing is the way that Antoine Winfield played and the way he plays in Todd Bowles' system, like he's literally a Swiss Army knife. You're talking about a guy that can play
awesome
deep middle field safety. He can play in the box. He can play slot corner, had over 100 tackles, 6 sacks, 5 forced fumbles. He is just a player. And if you look at guys that are in this mold, Derwin James, Micah Fitzpatrick, they're making upwards to $18 million. So it made a lot of sense to tag him. I just would have tried to work out a deal with him. That way I could tag Baker Mayfield while we work out a deal. But ultimately, I believe all three of these guys will get on the contract. I don't believe they want to keep Antoine Winfield under that franchise tag. I think they want to lock him in because he's a main cog on that defense.
I agree completely. By the way, third highest paid safety now by averaging Nevada. Yeah,
right behind those two.
I mean, and like he fit like – and then Jesse Bates right behind him. Harrison Smith, obviously getting up in age at 35.
I was a little surprised that Jesse Bates didn't get close to that Minka deal just because he's a hell of a ball hawk.
And he hit free agent. Free agent.
That's what I'm saying. I was a little surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that they ultimately work out a deal. Ravens franchise tagged Justin Madubuike. I mean, talk about a guy who burst on the scene.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he had more sacks this year than he had in his entire career, I believe.
Yep.
God, by a mile. He had eight.
I think it was eight and a half.
Eight and a half, and then he went to 13. Yeah, 13. Yeah. 56. The quarterback. 33
quarterback hits. So it was one for defensive tackles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just an unbelievable season. 26 years old. Breakout in Mike McDonald's defense. There's no chance the Ravens were going to let him walk because he was probably sprinting to Seattle, like and getting
for sure. Tons of money. Seattle had the money to do it, but just looking at Justin Madubuike, we've seen an evolution in regards to these pass rushing defensive tackles getting paid finally, like edge rushers, right? Because if you can affect the quarterback more so up the middle, internal pressure, quarterbacks hate that. They despise that internal pressure.
The tag number might toss out those tag numbers, Harry. I think the tag number.
His tag is 22.8 or 21.
Look at this defensive tackle 20, is higher 20. Than defensive end.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, you got to curtail that, or you have to tweak that because the outside linebacker, that's technically an edge guy. So,
right.
You got to think about that. Like Josh Allen and Brian Burns, they fall under that.
Fair point. Yeah, they fall under the linebacker. Which, by the way, fix that in the next CBA. Give us an edge tag.
Edge
tag number. Yeah, it's crazy.
For sure. Which they probably don't want to do because honestly, that edge tag would probably be like 30 mil, like to be honest with you. It'd be close to quarterback money because you just talked about Nick Bosa making $34 million. And you got to think Myles Garrett is probably going to be looking to redo his deal very soon and probably top what Nick Bosa did. So like getting back to Justin Madubuike in regards to him getting the tag. I said this earlier. I was like, there's no way he's not getting the tag, right? Because if you look at what he's done, he was kind of on that Quentin Williams trajectory, right? You talked about his first 3 years, having 8.5 sacks and then doubling, not doubling that, but almost doubling that in one season. Quinnen Williams did the same thing before he got paid from the New York Jets. So you talk about, you know, the player just now hitting his stride, right? He's in the middle of his career at 26 years old. This is when he's going to be playing the best football of his career. The Ravens have been known to work out deals. We saw that with Lamar Jackson. They gave him the tag. They ended up working out that deal. They'll work out this deal with Justin Madubuike because they're going to lose so many guys on defense.
Yes.
You've got to have him in the middle of your defense. You're going to most likely lose Patrick Queen. Probably going to lose Geno Stone, right? You're going to probably lose Jadeveon Clowney and Van Noy. You got to have one of your key cogs back in the middle of your defense.
Brent Urban, a free agent, too. I count 13 total free agents, including Madubuike. Well, I guess 12 now with Madubuike not being a free agent.
Good portion of those guys on that defense that was so good.
Yeah, and if you – before Madubuike got the tag, five or six starters on the Ravens defense who are free agents, and you lost your defensive coordinator. So there's just a lot of change coming. Although I think a lot of people are really high on Zach Horn and think he'll do a great job.
Oh, he's gonna be a good coach.
The Harbaughs are just great at hiring. They do they don't miss on hires ever.
Well, I mean, this lets you know how special they were. Not only did they lose Mike McDonald as the defensive coordinator, he went to Seattle. They lost, I believe, their defensive back coach and became the D coordinator in Miami. When your position coaches are getting D coordinator jobs, when the D coordinator actually leaves, that lets you know.
that lets you know that the coaching staff is kicking tail in there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about players who we got a few more tags to talk about. We'll do that next.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right. We've talked about these guys previously on the podcast, so we can kind of sprint through if we want. Legarius Sneed, given the non-exclusive franchise tag, it sure does seem like the Chiefs are trading this guy.
So you know what, Will? So we had this conversation earlier, too, and I thought for sure there's no way this is not a tag and trade.
Yeah.
But when the NFL came out with the new cap numbers and each team was allotted $30 more million, I said this could be a situation where the Chiefs hold on for him, right? You know, their biggest thing for this offseason is three-peat, right? They want to do what no other team has ever done. Now, Legarius Sneed has been given permission to seek a trade, but we talked about this too, Will. Like, if you're Legarius Sneed, are you going to get close to $20 million in the free agent market? Right. I don't think so. Like, I think he would get probably more guaranteed money than the 19.8. But if you look at it, like, if you could come back to the Chiefs for 1 year, right, you know, replicate what you did or even play close to what you did, because he played at a Pro Bowl level. I thought it was a travesty that he wasn't a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
I mean, the first touchdown he gave up was in the playoffs. He gave up a touchdown the whole regular season. So he was tasked to play the number one receiver every game.
And he bullied dudes, too. Like, he bullied them.
Oh, we saw what he did with Tyreek Hill in the playoffs. Right?
Yeah.
So,
he played Tyreek Hill twice. Tyreek Hill didn't top 100 yards in both games combined.
Yeah, and he was tasked to cover him in man coverage a lot, too. So, taking a 19.8, again, this is something that he has to sit down with his representation and take a long look. Now, if we're able to get, say, 35, you know, in guaranteed money, yeah, of course it makes sense to get the trade, right? Depending on if the Chiefs are comfortable with what is going to be the compensation. But if this is a situation where you're only going to get like 25 guaranteed, but you get this 19.8 for 1 year, my thing is this is 19.8 guaranteed for 1 year and an opportunity to be a three-peat champion. Yeah. Like, you have to take a hard, long look at that and maybe consider staying with the Chiefs. Like, before, with the Chris Jones needing the deal and supposedly Patrick Mahomes could restructure to give them some more flexibility, I didn't think there was any way that Legarius Sneed was going to fit under this cap. And the Chiefs knew this. This is why they drafted how they drafted 2 years ago when they took, you know, Trent McDuffie, when they took Jalen Watson, when they took Josh Williams. And Sneed actually got hurt that year. So it allotted, you know, Watson and Williams to get a lot of reps and become the players they are. But now, because they're getting $30 more million in the cap, this could be a situation where they do maybe keep Legarius Sneed for one more year.
Yeah, I agree with you on the three-peat thing totally. I was on board with the Legarius. Maybe he like just wants to come back and try to win a third title in a row. Nobody's ever done it.
I mean, go get your bread, right? If somebody gives you like 30-something guaranteed, you got to leave because you got two rings already. You'll be fine. But if it's like 25 mil guaranteed and you're going to get 20 this year anyway, I mean, you got to consider that.
Here's the other thing, too. He turned 27 in January.
So, he's an older free agent.
An older free agent, and he was a fourth round pick, and this is his first bite at the apple. So, like, I mean, he's
kind of like the Debo Samuel thing. You got to cash in,
right? I mean, he's like playing at his peak right now, and he's, you know, look, he's getting $20 million. You're set for life. Like, you can live on $20 million for the rest of your life comfortably, right? I think.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, if somebody's offering you like 30 guaranteed and like the first two. You got to take that.
Exactly. And it's like, you're talking about like the difference, especially where it's like, if you are 27 and you're going to turn, you'll be 28 by the time the next free agent comes around, you're not going to get teams aren't going to guarantee that for like 4 years into your 32.
That would make you 32 at the end of your contract.
Right. And like, you look at Denzel Ward and Jalen Ramsey, $71 million total guaranteed in their deals. $20 million a year.
Lord.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If he gets like 35, like he's got to take it.
Well, if you're Legarius Sneed, you're going to get Trevon Diggs money, which is $42 million. Don't you think so?
I mean, Diggs takes the ball, even though he does get beat, he takes the ball away.
Yeah. I mean,
and he's like, younger too.
Yeah, $42 million guaranteed and 19.4 per year. Like, you're going to get. Around the number per year on the franchise tag, while also
he's getting more than Diggs on the franchise tag.
Yeah, but I'm saying like I think he's getting like somewhere between $35 and $50 million guaranteed.
Yeah, that's why I said if he gets like 35 plus, like you got to go. Like,
yeah, and it's such a premium position that I would be surprised. I think he'll get traded and then sign a big contract. But I do agree with you. The Chiefs would love to keep him and try and make that run. All right, T. Higgins. We actually talked about T. Higgins at length. I think the Bengals will do what the Bengals always do, which is franchise tag him, let him play the year, and then let him walk.
Let him walk.
I mean, they did it. You know, they drafted who's the? All I can think of is Darvin Ham for some reason. Dax Hill. They drafted Dax Hill.
Dax Hill, yeah.
You know, it's like a replacement
for Jesse Bates. Yeah,
Bates, knowing that they were going to franchise tag Bates and let him walk.
I bet if they could redo that, they wouldn't. I mean, Dax Hill's a hell of a player, but if they could have had both of those guys out there.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they sign Higgins or just let him play?
It just depends on what T. Higgins thinks he can get on the open market. And the thing is, you know, I've talked to a lot of personnel guys, including myself, we think he's a true number one, right? And the Bengals even say they have a 1 and 1A, right? They don't say they have a 1 and 1B. They have a 1 and 1A. The thing is, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get paid this offseason. Like, he's already come out and said, Like, people asked, would he take a discount for T. Higgins? He was like, it don't necessarily, the money doesn't necessarily need to come from me. So that lets you know that he's not taking any discounts.
Right.
And he already talked about getting a lot of guaranteed money. So, like, I for sure thought this, just like the Jerry Sneed, I thought for sure, Will, that this would be a tag and trade. But because of the extra $30 million, and the only issue is the Brown family, they're not like a lot of these other owners where they just have cash laying around. Hmm. Will they be able to pay him and Jamar Chase? I don't think so. I think that this is like you said, a situation where T. Higgins plays 1 year under the franchise tag, unless somebody just comes with a crazy offer, say like two first.
Yeah,
I don't see that happening. But if somebody maybe even comes with a first and a third or a first and second, they maybe consider trading him just because that's really good draft capital. I think T. Higgins plays under the tag this year and hits free agency next year.
Yeah, and I think if you're T. Higgins, you're fine with that. Go ball out this year, and you're going to get paid.
I mean, you're getting 19.8, but the thing is, on the open market, could he have commanded like 25?
Yes, easily. Yes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, I had this conversation too, because I'm like, if you're T. Higgins, you're actually kind of pissed off, especially if they paid a guy that got drafted a year after you, rightfully so, right? Jamar Chase is a top three receiver in this league, so he has to get paid. But if you're T. Higgins, you feel like maybe you're a top 10, top 15 receiver. It's just like, I want to get paid too right now. Like, what if I don't want to get hurt? Like,
yeah, I'm with you for sure. Kyle Duggar, transition tag, 13.815 million. Only six players. Great stat, Harry. Only six players get the transition tag since 2014. Oh, by the way, do you know the last Colts player? I saw this. I saw Adam Schefter tweet this out. This is good trivia. The last player the Colts used the franchise tag on, before Michael Pittman, obviously.
It was Pat McAfee, wasn't it?
Oh, nice, dudes. Very nice. Yes, it was Pat McAfee. Now the radio host, analyst, whatever the hell he is. I don't know what his title is. Media personality. There you go. Exactly. Six players since 2014 to get the transition tag. Obviously, other teams can come and sign him to an offer sheet. Kyle Duggar, shout out Lenore Ryan. I mean,
I actually caught one of their games this year.
Did you really?
Yeah, Division II. It was the right before the championship game.
Was it in North Carolina?
No, it was in Harding, Arkansas. They were playing Harding.
Okay. Don't know where that is. Lenore Ryan out of Hickory.
Middle of Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not been not an urban, not a metro populated area.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's probably like 45 minutes outside of Little Rock.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. What do we think? Do we think anybody tries to come and sign Duggar? He's a really interesting player. Yeah. He's familiar with the Patriots defense. Like,
right.
You know,
I think this is a situation where they're just hoping somebody does the bidding for them. That way they could just match it and sign them. Right. So like, this is that situation. I honestly thought Xavier McKinney might be a guy that gets a transition tag from the Giants. He's only 24 years old, a really good young player as well at safety too. But Kyle Duggar, this one made a lot of sense. I actually used his name the other day when people were talking about franchise tag. I was like, Kyle Duggar's a guy that I would maybe think about putting the tag on just like Antoine Winfield. He does so much for the Patriots defense. And it was a year before where the ball just found like it felt like it gravitated toward him.
Yeah.
Towards him. Like this year it wasn't as productive in regards to taking the football away. But the year before, I feel like the ball just gravitated to him everywhere he was at.
He's like, it's still top 10 paid safeties, right above Grant Delpit and Jalen Thompson. Wouldn't be surprised if they work out a deal. And also just, you know, it's an easier story.
What is Jalen Thompson making?
He is making $12 million a year.
In Arizona?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know he was making that. He's a good player too, though.
Yeah, safety. There's no safety makes more than $20 million a year. It's just not a. Yeah. I mean, just sort of how it works. Two guys. Well, we can really do three guys who didn't get tagged. We'll get to the running backs in a second because Josh Jacobs not tagged. Not a surprise. He would have been tagged back to back, and no surprise with Saquon Barkley either. Like
no,
I mean.
The tag number is what, 12.1? I don't think Saquon gets that on the open market, right? I believe there's only three backs making that. I think it's Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, and then Christian McCaffrey.
Well, Harry, toss up those tag numbers, Harry, please. So the running back
12.1, right?
Is 11.3, but Saquon and Josh Jacobs, because they were tagged previously,
would get 12.
Would have get 120%. Yeah. So it's like, I mean, there's there's no way those teams were going to do that. It would have been bad business to tag a running back in that spot and pay them. Yeah, like
especially when they didn't have the years they had the year before.
Right.
Right. So
I think Jacobs comes back to the Raiders personally. I do think
it just depends on what he wants. Cause Saquon fell off a little bit from what he did, but Jacobs, you know, led the league in rush. I think it went over 1,600 yards. And if I'm not, but did he even go over 1,000 this year?
I will tell you.
Or it was like right there at 1,000. It was.
Josh, 805. Yeah, good call.
Jacobs, he didn't go over 1,000. Yeah.
Josh Jacobs, friend of the podcast. He's actually, he's a great guy too.
I'm
a
big he guy. Is really good dude.
Yeah.
I think he's a great player too. You got to preference this by saying like, one, he sat out all of training camp, right? Two, and then the whole Josh McDaniels thing.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the year was an issue. They had O-line issues as well. And then at the quarterback position, nobody respected Aiden O'Connell throwing the ball down the field. So, like, he literally was getting, like, not 8 in the box, like 9 in the box every game. So, like, I mean, you got to preference it by saying that as well.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at these guys, like, they were already in the top 10 in terms of running backs who were being paid based on their last franchise tags last year. So, no surprise here. They're going to hit the open market. There's not a ton of running backs in the draft, so I could see some of these guys getting paid. But, like, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry.
I don't think any of them make over 11 mil, though.
No, I don't think. I think it's, like, all incentives and, like, $9 to $10 million. Dollars.
Correct. And even that's going to be high for a lot of them. I don't think some of them are going to make that.
Yeah.
The It'll be really interesting to see what the Baltimore Ravens give Derrick Henry. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there.
I want that. Like, I need that. Like, I need oxygen. I'd love to see that combo. The one really surprising one, and it's because of cap space, essentially, Miami Dolphins are letting Christian Wilkins walk.
I don't think that's a surprise.
Well, I guess it's not a surprise. I think that you get the $30 million cap spike, man. Christian Wilkins is a really good player.
But so, like, me and Pete were having this argument on TV today. And, if you look at what they did, they paid Zach Sealer, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you like people that don't know Zach Sealer's game, they might look at me funny, but go turn on the film. Like, Zach Sealer was a better fit in that Vic Fangio defense. Mm. Christian Wilkins, and it's kind of like Justin Madubuike, I think this year he had 9 sacks, and I think totally might have had like 8 or 9 before that in his whole career. I think his first year he had maybe 2. Then his high was like 4.5. So I was right there. Right. Yep. 9.
2, 1.5, 4.5, 3.5, and 9.
If you look at how the season progressed, when Jalen Phillips went down and Bradley Chubb went down, it wasn't Christian Watkins that stood up in regards to getting to the quarterback. It was Zach Sealer. You know, he had a streak of 6 out of the last 7 games getting at least a half a sack. Zach Sealer had that. He finished the year with 10 sacks. So I'm saying people that don't know his game may be surprised, but if you look at what Zach Sealer did in that defense, right? And I think Roquan Davis is free as well. So they have to make some decisions on that side of the ball. That's why they paid Zach Sealer last year, because they knew Christian Wilkins was probably going to demand upwards of $25 million. And they were like, well, we feel like we have a player that's just as good, and we're paying him half of what Christian Wilkins is going to get on the free agent market. So I wasn't surprised by this either, because one, there's rumors Tua needs a new deal. And then Jalen Phillips and also Jalen Waddle could potentially get new deals soon.
I mean, the Dolphins are just in a bad salary cap spot. Harry and I were talking before the show, and just, you know, Harry had a point where it's like, if he want, I mean, you know, you're the exact same argument you're making right now, which is if he wants $25 million a year, like if he wants to beat Quinton Williams' number, Jeffrey Simmons' number, you know, Deron Payne, 22.5, Dexter Lawrence, 22.5. And you would think that he does, because that's how this works.
He will, because Madubuike and Chris Jones most likely are going back to their team. So
true. Yeah. And, he's already 28.
But and see, that's another thing. I was going to say he's older, too.
Wow.
He was at Clemson for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's played 5 seasons. He was old. Yeah, because all those Clemson guys stuck around and, like, kept coming back because they were getting paid at Clemson. Like, let's be
real. Yeah, a lot of people were surprised he came back instead of leaving to go to the draft. So, yeah, he stayed there 5 years. And then you got to think about this. So, was that 23 and now it's 5 years during the regular season? He's already 28. So, this will probably be his only deal. So, he's got to cash in.
Yeah.
That's the only thing about going first round. It ain't always what it's cracked up to be.
So they won. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah, I mean, he's doing fine. I'm trying to think. Did that Clemson team?
I mean, he was number 13 overall pick, so he's all right.
Yeah. They're doing all right. Yeah. So I mean, he did. And in his defense, he did. He did come back and they won the title. They beat Alabama in that championship game.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it made sense.
Yeah. So like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, you got the championship and all that. But yeah, he's gonna get a ton of money on free agency. Open, you know, a guy who had 9 sacks as a defensive tackle. He will.
Get, be interesting to see where he ends up going.
I know. Though. Very interesting. He can also catch touchdowns. He can also run the ball too.
He can do that.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Tuesdays with
Brunson. He also can do a full split.
He can do a full split. He's very athletic for his size. Breach and I are going to break down the best free agents, landing spots. If you like, just a little teaser here. Apparently, I'm going to do like the worst mock draft ever, but I'm going to do it for free agency. Worst free agent signings, like hell on earth for every single
Russell Wilson to the Jets.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that one just to like, that's a great call. All right. Perfect, dudes. Yeah, we'll get out on that. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. For dudes, I'm Brinson. We'll see you guys later.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.